Vera, get to the point. What do you think? I mean, because what I'm getting is that you sound like, just do it. Just fucking say it. Spit it out, please, Vera.
I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo. So pull up your chair. We are full automatic. We are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
Well, hey there, hi there, and how diddly doo-dah do you do there, ladies? It's me, Wanda Wisdom, and I'm not alone. Besides the many voices in my head, today on Eat This Hot Show, I'm joined on my proverbial, metaphorical, ideological left by the lovely, fat, bloated lesbian, otherwise known as Vera Charles. Hello there, Vera.
Well, first of all, I'm not a lesbian. I'm a man with a woman's name. And I'm very fine. I am bloated, however, and rather fat and bald and unattractive. And I'm other than that, I'm great. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm really quite fine.
Marvelous.
Not as fine as that.
Okay.
Now, on my proverbial metaphorical institutional right, because she's the most fascist lesbian I know, is the beautiful, young, and vibrant Madge Weinstein of East Radio.
Toodles! Toodles!
Oh, already?
Wait a minute. It's not racist Wanda again, is it?
No, that wasn't racist Wanda. If I was racist Wanda, I would have said, hey there, hi there, and hello there, white ladies. It's your racist KKK drag queen, Wanda Wisdom.
Who's going to be taking over for Dr. Laura.
How about that, huh? How about that?
Yes, ladies, there's a lot going on in the world. What have you brought to the table?
I don't like anything that she left.
Did you hear her explanation on...
No, what was it? I just heard about it on Democracy Now! Like 10 minutes before I came on here. So.
I have the definitive everything because I've done great research and I've got all of the sound
can I be you
files.
Twice?
Wow,
oh,
I think that was a cheap attempt at grabbing attention, so right. I will give in to your... I will enable your desires to be the center of attention and let you... Tell us what you know about Miss Dr. Laura.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Angry White Lady.
I did a show with her once. Blah, 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 blah.
I have been.
Me and Martha Ray ate her out once, and Martha's dentures got stuck in her twang.
I have been an anti-fan of Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who is a doctor of physiognomy and physiology and not a doctor of anything.
Her kid's mom.
And her kid's mom. I have
been
a
doctor? Isn't physiognomy like, you know, like your face?
So she's a gym teacher.
Physiology and it has nothing to do with mental, you know, like mental health. She is licensed as a counselor, but that's it. Anyway,
all right. Now I've been guilty of being, or I've been called long winded, and if I am, you are as well. So give us the Cliff's Notes.
No, I'm going to get... No, absolutely not. I refuse to be
just
intimidated by
Look,
either one
I'm
of you.
I'm in control of this program.
Just fucking say it. Spit it out, please, Vera.
Honey, you guys aren't in control of anything. Yes, I'll spit it out. The woman on her show said the N-word. I know that you and that other person are very fond of that, Madge.
Well,
said the N-word 11 times. In a tirade and a rant towards a black woman caller who is married to a white man who felt that her husband and her husband's friends were allowing racial stuff to go on in the house. Now, she wasn't calling anyone the N-word, but what she was saying was is that if you listen to HBO or whatever, you'll hear N all the time, and it seems to be okay when black people say N. Well...
Yes.
She ended her program, immediately felt bad, issued an apology and all of this stuff. But it was way too, I mean, it was, even though it was her initiation to do that, it was too late. And the shit has been hitting the fan all over her, as it should, for basically using that word with such, in such a cavalier manner, is more than anything else. She ended the call to the woman by saying, if you're that sensitive about race, perhaps you shouldn't marry someone outside of your race. It was a marvelous call. So anyway, the shit hit the fan. But according to her, this has nothing whatsoever
Wait,
to
say
do.
That last part again. If you're so sensitive about race, what?
Don't if marry you're so, outside your race.
Exactly. Don't marry outside your race.
If you're going to be sensitive, if you're going to be this sensitive when someone calls you the N-word, maybe you shouldn't be dating a white man. Okay. That's what she said.
Yeah, in a nutshell. If you don't have the sense of humor to handle it. So she made the apology. She did all this. Then she's decided, according to her, which has nothing to do with that situation, to when her contract is ended at the end of this year, she is getting out of radio. That's what she told Larry King.
Best part about it is why she said she's quitting. She wants to regain her free speech First Amendment rights.
Yes, because they have been usurped because of all the special interest groups that come to attack her for her opinions, of which we are, the gay people are one of those special
okay,
interest
so
groups.
Okay, so she's going to do a podcast.
She's already doing internet. She does YouTube videos.
Have you seen her YouTube videos?
They are so scary. And she looks so horrifically
but
horrible.
But YouTube videos are not what I would consider free speech because there is still some sort of form of censorship. So she would probably she has to do a direct shitty-ass podcast that nobody will listen to like mine.
Well, but see, the whole point is she's got free speech, but what she doesn't understand is that free speech isn't free. I mean, you're welcome to say whatever you want, but the market isn't a free speech zone. If you say something your sponsors don't want you to say,
it's the same thing that happened to Helen Thomas. I of course vehemently disagree with most things I've heard Dr. Loris say, but I am not happy that because of this debacle she is no longer on the air.
She's still on the air until the end of the year.
I'm sorry, but I'm not happy that because of this, and I think it is because of this. I infer that it's because of this that she's not going to be continuing after the end of the year.
She vehemently denied it on Larry King Live.
Now,
they always
to me,
deny it. Didn't Helen Thomas deny it? But, I mean, they probably told her they won't renew it. I mean, I'm guessing. Who really knows?
Further, I just want to know why you say it's you're disappointed that she won't be on the radio.
Because I don't think that I'm not happy with this trend I see of people making one mistake and losing their career over it.
Not what's happened.
Oh, this woman has an entire
year. She has a career of mistakes, including. I mean, if you listen to my show today, and I know you'll never.
I got up early to do it.
Okay. Oh. Then you heard the entire thing that I talked about, what? Dr. Laura. You heard the entire. Oh, I'm here.
Uh-oh. She went apoplectic.
Are you there, Vera?
I'm here. Okay. I'm here. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead and continue, please.
All right. I put something in the grum holder. Hopefully, it'll be there. Maybe that's what was going on.
Okay.
But
don't do that during the show.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
What am I talking about? Oh, if you listen to my show today, I have a lot of conversation about this woman because, we were being funny up front, or you guys were being funny up front, but literally I have followed this woman for years and years and years because she is a dangerous person, I've been a watchdog with this cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
And, and she was back talking about the fact that we were biological errors because we were gay, and that brouhaha that never went away. Yeah. I mean, she's been... she just constantly puts her foot in it. So this is nothing new. She is not losing. This is not like a Don Imus situation where they forced him to apologize or yank him off the air at all.
Okay.
If you watch the Larry King interview, which I watched this morning before we
I can't watch
came
that
online,
puppet. I can't watch I, that fucking anorexic well, marionette anymore. I just can't.
It's 8 minutes.
Speaking of retirement, when is he going to fucking? I thought he did retire.
He is retiring. But let me make my point. If you watch that interview, you'll see her what she's saying, which it's what Wanda said earlier. She's all up in arms about the fact that because she is under pressure from sponsors, from affiliates, she's constantly worried about what she's saying, and she wants to be in a venue where she doesn't have to do that anymore. It doesn't have anything to do with using the N-word or anything.
But I totally get that. I feel the same way. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right.
I totally relate to her.
Yeah, but nobody is stifling her ability to say what she wants. She just can't say it for Procter & Gamble or Masters & Johnson.
But in America, in this society, that is how people get censored. That's how I got censored.
Madge, you are not spewing hatred or intolerance.
That is a... that is... what am I trying to say? That is your opinion.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I mean, you're saying essentially that she's entitled to free speech, even if it's hateful free speech, which is true. And I don't think most people would disagree with that. But you don't. Yeah. I mean,
it just bothers
me.
I don't.
You don't get a show with corporate sponsors who like it or don't. That's how the system works.
That is how the system works.
But
But I don't like it. That's what I don't like.
What frustrates me is that she takes something that's genuinely true and then warps it for her own personal self-interest.
I don't know if you guys heard when I was talking when I, you know, basically got, when Podshow didn't renew my contract, even though I have 100,000 worthless shares if anybody wants to buy them, but you can't really because you, well, whatever. But I was told by Ron Blum, the president, the CEO of Mevio, while he was in line for Starbucks firing me, ordering a latte, I think it was with an extra shot, and Adam Curry was on the line from England, probably smoking a dube. He said, Madge, we can't hang on to your show anymore because you're not brand safe. And I said, what does brand safe mean exactly? He said, and I quote, it means Procter & Gamble won't sponsor you.
And your point would be?
My point is that while not maybe technically meeting the definition of censorship, it is not by the government. In a free market system, in this free market system...
Not when you're in somebody's house. Procter & Gamble is paying for your show. You can't say Procter & Gamble sucks. Or you can, but I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah,
well, and you can't say things that is ultimately what it gets down to is you can't say things that piss off Procter & Gamble shareholders, which, you know, that we
right. But that's I'm not defending anybody's. I am defending everybody's right to free speech. But you can't expect to walk into my house to have dinner and then start berating my husband and not expect me to say you're not welcome here anymore. And that's all that they're doing. They're saying, if here's a venue for you, it is being paid for by Blumenthal Soap Company. And you get on there and you say, I hate them darkies that work at Blumenthal Soap Company.
When I was on Sirius, the only rule we had was you can't say anything bad about Sirius. That was it. And I find that perfectly acceptable. I don't have a problem with what you just said. I mean, of course I wouldn't be able to speak ill of a Procter & Gamble brand. I mean, you know about me and Paris Hilton. I mean, I always talk well about that skank because she sponsored was my first sponsor. It's not like I expect it to change. It is the way it is in a free market system. I'm just saying I don't like it. I don't like the way it works because it silences voices that don't speak the majority opinion, that don't speak safely. It keeps safe programming on the air and edgy, risky program and often progressive stuff off the air. And that's the problem I have.
Yeah. I think the outrage in this particular situation goes to the words that she said more than...
Yeah.
And I think that's the case more so than this is an act of, you know, like Don Imus, where said something hurtful.
Did you hear what Keith Olbermann said about it?
I actually haven't watched that yet. Did you watch his clip?
Yeah, he basically said it wasn't her use of the N-word.
Oh, no,
times.
I did see that. Yeah, he was saying that her racism wasn't the N-word. Her racism was that she thinks... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That she says basically, okay, you say it because you probably remember better than I do, actually.
I believe it was...
I'm senile.
that you black people are just getting all uppity because we elected one of your, you know.
Yeah, she generalized.
We elected one of your kind, so stop getting so sensitive.
Right. She generalized all black people into one sort of abstraction. And that was what, according to Oberman, is the racist man. And I actually agree with that. I thought that was a very intelligent thing, observation.
What I thought was interesting was her use of the N-word came flying out of her mouth a little too easily. Vera, did you hear that?
I listened to the entire call. I listened to the apology. I listened to the explanation of what's been happening in the week following that she posted on her blog. I'm a watchdog for this woman, so I've seen and heard everything that has come. And what she said was her the N-word flying out of her actually was, I think, being demonstrative, because the caller said, Dr. Laura said, give me a couple of examples of how your husband and her friends are being racist towards you. And so the woman gave an example up front that wasn't really strong enough. Uh-huh. She mentioned that when one of their neighbors walks into the house, he's always saying, well, how do black people feel about that? Or what's the black viewpoint? Or how do you know? And right. Dr. Laura was saying, well, that's not racist at all. And so the woman came, well, what about their use of the N-word? And the woman said, the N-word. No, she didn't say it. She said, quote, the N-word.
Yeah.
And Dr. Laura said, well, do you ever listen to HBO and listen to black comedians? Every other word is. And then she said the honest to God word.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to say it, okay, because this is ridiculous. She said nigger, nigger, nigger. The woman said the N word. So right.
There goes our Procter & Gamble sponsorship.
No,
exactly. But the woman was censoring the word, and I think Dr. Laura was trying to make a point of shocking the person as opposed to it coming easy to her. I don't think. There's a lot of things that this woman is, including way fucked up in her brain and self-important.
Well, she does make beaded bracelets. I watched a video because I contemplated taking a video of her that's very benign, like the one where she makes beaded yes. bracelets, and then just inserting randomly the N-word.
listen.
Like, here's my lovely turquoise. N-word.
I'm glad you contemplated making that video because it's just as good as actually having made it.
That's funny. I know now.
So don't worry. You don't have to actually make the video. You can have Adam Carmichael's do it.
But anyway, I don't think the woman's an idiot, and the woman is ultra conservative, and the woman.
Vera, get to the point. What do you think? I mean, because what I'm getting is that you sound like, well, the fact that she said nigger, 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 nigger is not really a big deal. Or I don't get your point.
No, it's a huge big deal. Okay. But what Wanda said was that it came easy to her, as if she probably uses it racially in her daily life.
She has used that word before, because anybody that can just launch that word out and make it sound like, you know... cottage cheese.
I'm
just
not defending that woman by any stretch of the imagination.
The second one came
performer.
Out.
Well, I don't know if she says a lot. I mean, how is that? Who cares?
The second time she used it to me was even more stunning. Because
she used it on you? You're not even black.
Yes, I am actually black.
Oh.
Although, you know, Gooch says whenever he sees you in drag, that you look like you could have some black blood in you.
I have gotten that. Do you know, I actually showed up for an interview with a makeup artist once, and she was like, oh, my God, I thought you were going to be black. She's like, I thought this was a sister. And I was like, well, I am a sister, just not a black sister.
It's because the dresses and the hair are very black.
Do you have any African-American blood in you, Wanda?
No,
because Gooch swears you look like a black woman.
Just semen.
Just have him look at my blonde photos, because it's that drag queen.
And it's the lame, let's face it.
Drag queens in general look like ethnic women, because they're always too darkly painted.
Excuse me.
Okay.
I mean, that's something I've noticed before, where a lot of drag queens,
seems
they look
like an awful generalization, like you might be prejudiced. Yeah.
Well, you know, the word tranny comes out of my mouth really fast.
Tranny, tranny, tranny.
Tranny, tranny, tranny.
All right, that was a fun discussion.
Okay, so now moving on to other topics. What else is in the craw of
hey,
the
I brought
two
that
old...
one up. You got to come up with something
well,
else.
Well, I was just listening also to a discussion on this business with the mosque. I think that's been...
Oh, that would be... Oh, that's God. Something I think we should really talk about.
Okay. Hostess Ooh, can start toodaloo.
Well, let's start from this vantage point. I would just like to know your views on this particular issue. Yes.
Okay, Madge. For me, it's pretty clear cut. There is no freedom of religion. The law says they can build it. The things being, and you know, so that's the law. The law clearly says they have a right to build it there. As far as appropriateness goes, it's two blocks away. The project is being run by one of the most highly regarded imams in America. He's worked with both the Bush and the Obama administrations. He works actively on interfaith issues. It's a community center. He's really trying to bridge communities together. Freedom of religion is very important. It's part of why the country was founded. End of story. I mean, it's pretty simple to me.
Now, let me ask you this before we get Vera's opinion.
Uh-huh.
So what is causing all of the controversy, and why are people who...
Well, from what I understand, it started with the Tea Parties and the crazy left field, and the media picked it up as something to fucking talk about. So I don't have to talk about the fact that BP's whitewashing the oil spill and whatever else people don't want to talk about, and... You know,
but you do have a sort of a variety of ideological, there's a wide spectrum on this issue that are opposed to it.
None of it has any merit, in my opinion. Because legally, we go by the law in this country. We have a law and we have three branches of government. We have a constitution, and that's what makes decisions ultimately, you know? And it is pathetic, the fact that politicians are running on this issue, and then Harry Reid, one of the most prominent Democrats, is running on this issue now and said, you know, it shouldn't be built there.
Did you see that Nancy Pelosi questioned where the funding is coming from for the opposition?
No, I did not.
Anyway, Vera, what is your take on this issue?
I think all them towel heads ought to be lined up against a wall and shot. I think it's the most ridiculous fucking brouhaha over absolutely fucking nothing that has been foisted upon the public in a while. They have a right to build it there. It isn't even within sight of Ground Zero. It's two blocks away from it. There's a strip club on the same fucking block. So why don't we have a protest about the strip club that's that close to Ground Zero? Let them build their fucking mosque. For Christ fucking sake, people, get over this shit. And it's go ahead.
I was just going to say, in Wanda's opinion.
You know, it probably will not surprise you to learn that I'm pretty much in agreement with the three of you.
So we have a non-discussion.
I know.
Three of us. Who else is here, the three of us?
Oh, God, I don't know where I am.
She just said she agrees with the three of us, and I just
caught myself. But here's
Wanda Wisdom, too.
But here's something I would like to know. I mean, do you think that... I don't know. I'm trying to come up with some edgy way to approach this particular issue.
We need edge.
You know, you know what it made me think of, honestly? It's like the memorial itself for the World Trade Center, unrelated. You know, but I was thinking, you know, I don't think they've done anything with that hole in the ground, have they?
Not for 9 years.
Okay. I think that's kind of, you know, I was thinking about that today after I listened to this discussion about the mosque. I think, you know what? I think that's kind of good. I've been to a lot of memorials. I've been to a lot of Holocaust memorials. And in particular, I was at the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin, which is relatively new, and it's this very interesting maze of gigantic blocks, and it's like a huge mouse, you know, one square city block with a giant mouse maze, like a psychologist kind of business. Now, the memorial is very nice, but I was also there about 4 years prior, before it had been built, when it was just this big flat piece of ground, and the tour guide said, "See this big flat piece of ground? Underneath is where Hitler's bunker was." That was powerful. I don't know. I think in some ways that empty space can be more of a memorial than some sort of pretty thing.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think memorials in general are kind of gauche.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to capture. It's going to be so stuck in the time that it was wrought, number one. So it's just always going to look out of place. I don't know.
They can be done well. Like, I think in Miami, there's this Holocaust memorial, which is a giant hand coming out of a pond, a gigantic hand, like two stories, with all these, like, you know, kind of like prison survivors crawling up it like it's a barbed wire fence to escape. Oh. And that's a very powerful. And then when you go in, you can go in if you walk through this little kind of moat thing over a bridge, and you kind of are inside the hand, and you see all these like ghost figures of, you know, it's very creepy. It's almost like there's ghosts around you. But I think a lot of times the designs get so, what's the word? They get so like
esoteric.
No, they just get, because there's so many committees and people involved, it just gets to the lowest common denominator and they get very bland.
So it ends up being a big white box.
Exactly. Or like the Vietnam Memorial, you know, just some boring ass shit with names. I mean, it's great to have names, but come on. I mean,
now, have either one of you been to the Pearl Harbor, the Arizona Memorial?
No.
That's really very, very moving. And it's simply a white bridge-like structure that's over the actual ship that is still sunk in the harbor. Uh-huh. It's a very moving memorial. I think memorials are a good thing. Yeah. If it's a blank space, it can be just as effective as a.
Yeah, I think a big hole in the ground kind of sort of makes the point. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
except with a
photo that says like before, after.
Or some beautiful, elaborate kind of structure around the hole in the ground to contrast the two.
Yeah.
But I think it was Bill Maher who made the point. I'm not sure if it was Bill Maher, but someone made the point, you know, they haven't built anything for 9 years at that fucking memorial. So don't get your panties in a bunch that someone wants to build a mosque, you know, two blocks away from it and 9 years later. You haven't done a fucking thing with that space, with that nothingness, because no one can get their fucking act together on this one.
Well, yeah. I ate a gigantic loaf of babka in the course of, 24 hours, and that's why I feel sick. I wanted to mention that when you introduced me, but I forgot.
What is babka?
Babka is this... Do you know what it is, Vera?
It's a pastry of some kind, is it not?
Yeah, it's this Jewish thing. It's very popular in New York, and it's just like a gigantic, it makes a pound cake look like a diet food by comparison. Okay. It's this gigantic loaf of very heavy flour, sugar, and chocolate all marbled into this delicious, yummy thing. When you open the bag, it smells like a giant stick of butter. And it is so delicious. So I was talking about it on my show, and this guy Patrick from New York sent me two loaves. I ate one in the space of a day. And I mean, that's all I ate. I didn't even eat meals yesterday. And so I woke up with this babka hangover. I just wanted to say that.
Thanks
so
for sharing.
Good. I think I have to bring the other one to work. I just can't deal with it. So good.
Well, if anyone's listening, I wouldn't mind, and I don't think Vera would mind receiving a babka in the mail.
Oh,
that sounds like some sort of sexual euphemism.
You know, we got a lot of donations too. I don't know if Vera's looked lately. We should
thank
those
people. I have been marking them as donations in the Eat This Hot Show inbox.
Wow, how much are we up to?
$1.34. Wow. We're doing not badly.
It's like $100 or something.
I think so. I think it's around $100 so far.
We should get the names together for next time so we can thank them.
Yeah, I think we need to do like a pledge-a-thon thank you session.
I don't mind doing that.
I don't really want to bring up another topic only because I do, but I don't want to be the one since I'm not the host.
Okay, I'm the host. Why don't you whisper it in my ear?
I want to talk about Reagan's big fight on Big Brother.
Okay, hey, ladies. Now, you know Reagan Fox is on that Big Brother program.
Fox.
Apparently he had a really big fight. I don't know because I've not seen the program, but why don't you ladies broach the topic?
Well, Wanda, you really, I mean, you should have seen at least the fight. You can Google Rachel Reagan fight.
All right.
It was huge. Basically what happened is there's this girl named Rachel, not Rachel Can, but another annoying woman named Rachel. And she is she is a piece of work, and she's on this reality TV show where she was because she's this Vegas typical Vegas boob waitress, huge tits, extremely annoying laugh. It's like casting directors went from country, you know, from state to state to find the most annoying person they could possibly find.
And if she were in a fiction film, you would not believe the actress's portrayal because it's so right. stereotypical and
it's
obnoxious.
So bad and just plain yes. bad.
Hideously bad.
And she's, yeah, she would never get cast because nope. she's so bad. I mean, the actress playing her, it was to be like, no, sorry, fail. But anyway, so she was ruthless in the first several weeks of the show. And anytime she found somebody that was a threat to her, particularly a woman, she just completely badmouthed them and went after them with, you know, fangs and got them off the show. And as a result of that, she got the other sort of hot women off the show within the first like 4 weeks of the show. So we're stuck with a bunch of guys. Not bad for you homosexuals, but for me lesbians, it'd be nice more to have more than one cute girl on the show. So
Kathy's
she did,
not bad. She's just older.
Listen, whatever. Come on.
Look, Matt likes I'm tangential a nice, enough. Youthful I don't need piece that. Of.
You know what I'm trying to say. You know, Kathy's sweet, but she smokes like a goddamn chimney right after she takes her cancer pills. It's fucking ridiculous.
Can you believe
fucking
that?
Fucking train wreck.
Her cancer pills and then goes out yeah. there's a smoke.
Then okay, she bitches go. About. Okay, but so Reagan, you know, you was in the beginning friends with her, like, you know, fag had kind of cutesy stuff. And then it just fell apart one day. I forget why. I'm not talking about the actual fight. They had a preliminary fight, which you can find on insanefilms.com, where I can't even remember what they were fighting about. But it wasn't a super huge fight. It was a big fight, and it kept them away. Well, Rachel got voted off the show, but because she was such a controversy, they brought her back. And this it'll actually be aired tonight, Wanda, so you didn't even miss it on the actual show, because Vera and I watched live feeds thanks to Edith Bunker. But
holy Christ.
But it'll be on the show tonight, so all you have to do is watch it at 7. And you trust me, you will be glad you did. Because it's just so
unbelievable. All right, so tell me, what this goddamn fight is about.
Right.
Yeah, now who's running on
I
with
know,
their
but it's just so
on.
It's like she's going into apoplectic reality.
I appreciate
and, you know,
that.
And nobody rags on you. Huh, Madge?
All right.
Get to your point, Madge.
I have
get
been
your point,
served.
Please.
I get it.
Okay.
Now you ruined my miking. Thanks. When you see that line going all the way up there, now you know why.
It's my fault.
Fucking bitch.
So go ahead. So they had a fight.
So Rachel came back after being evicted, shocking everyone. And Reagan was pissed. And he said, Rachel, you're a joke. You know. And she said, Reagan, are you this bitchy because you're gay? And then they cut and come back about 15 minutes later, you know, because they're always switching feeds. And all of a sudden, like, she comes out because Reagan is what they call a half-not. He's not allowed to eat yummy foods. He's on slop. And she purposely taunts him and brings this cookie dough. And she says, Reagan, would you like a nice, yummy cookie? I'm making cookies. You know, kind of just a clever, yeah, not clever even, but just playing, whatever. And he just said, no, I would not like any of your homo innuendos. And he just started going off on her, like, in a way that I've only seen grade school children go off on each other. I mean, it was hardcore.
He was imitating her.
He was mimicking her. Like, she'd say, really, Reagan? He goes, really, Reagan? Are you just... I mean, it was like unfucking believable.
She'd laugh. She'd go, and he'd go,
And then he started, you know, saying stuff like, and please feel free to interrupt me, Vera, because my memory is terrible. But among other things, he said, you know, Rachel, you look like a goddamn red parrot with that fake red hair, because she has an awful dye job. You have that fake red hair. You have fake tits. In fact, the only thing real on you are the zits on your chin.
Yep. Your pimples, because she's terrible. She's broken out terribly on her chin during the show, so he's ragging on her. And she says, oh, Reagan, you get so upset when something happens, and he explodes and says, I get upset, Rachel. And all of a sudden he starts imitating her for one of her explosions, and he sits down. I couldn't believe how quick he was getting up and down off his feet.
Yeah. But
that's because he weighs 5 pounds and he's younger. But he's up and down off of his feet, imitating her, whimpering, crying. It was borderline for me embarrassing.
You can tell it. He had rehearsed it in his mind.
Well, you could also tell that he was probably really, really at the end of his rope and was not thinking too well about how it was going to appear to other people.
Which is exactly what people on that show want, isn't it?
Oh, of course.
Absolutely. That makes that crap. And I almost said your name. What's your name? Madge. Madge and I have talked about the fact that we would never watch this shit if it weren't for the fact that Reagan is on it. And so,
but now I find it particularly interesting that you're all obsessed with it now.
Only because of Reagan.
I admit that I'm obsessed with it. I admit that the thing causes a sort of weird kind of addiction.
Especially the voyeuristic aspect of it.
I am embarrassed, but also not embarrassed. I'm doing this very clearly, and it's not a rationalization, because a very good friend of mine is on the show. And as a result of that, I've become obsessed by it.
So now are you going to, do you think you'll continue to be obsessed post-Reagan on the program?
Absolutely fucking not. I will never watch that trash again. It's horrible. I call it emotion. I call it emotion porn. You know, it's porn of the emotions. It is, you know, working in the pornography industry, I know a thing or two about this. You know, in porn, we take a person and rip their sexuality to shreds. We destroy their sexuality, or they destroy it themselves, however you look at it, in order to make money for the company, for the business. In the same way, reality TV takes a human being and destroys them emotionally, absolutely destroys them, wrecks them.
For the benefit of the program.
For the benefit of the network.
I wonder if anybody's done research like to see the effects of people that are on these shows afterward, like if they have some sort of post-reality stress disorder.
I think they have
an inflated sense of fame. They think that they're, I mean, these people in that house are talking about how they're in People magazine for sure now and what America thinks about them. That's all they talk about is how they're going to be perceived by America.
I hate that.
And how, and what interviews they're going to be doing afterwards. And all it's this goes back to this fame obsession, which is epidemic in our country.
It is the sacrifice for fame. It's basically complete self-effacement for fame. And the other thing I think is interesting too is, as soap operas are dying, as they have been, you know, it used to be that soap operas would be how many actors, not all, but many actors broke into mainstream acting, television and movies, was through soap operas. Now the soap opera is dying and it's reality TV, so it's almost like a rite of passage to get into acting.
Well, it used to be like game shows.
It's like Harvard for actors.
It's a horrible,
Yale.
Horrible state of affairs that my wonderful late teacher and friend, Charles Nelson Reilly, who was the greatest teacher I ever had in my life, said, in my day, in order to become an actor, you needed to study and study and study. And nowadays, all you have to do is eat a bug. And that was the beginning of Survivor.
Did he say that to you or did he say that publicly?
He said it to me, but he said it to other people as well. It was his opinion. And, you know, Elizabeth Hasselbeck is a prime example of that. That stupid cunt was a Survivor person.
Lindsay Lohan,
was
too,
she really?
Yeah, that's how she got her start.
She always
from
talks
Survivor.
About it. Well, and Survivor. Wasn't Lindsay Lohan like that too?
I think Lindsay Lohan was like Mickey Mouse Club or something, wasn't she? Oh, I'm not sure.
No, you're
I'm
thinking of Annette Funicello. That was like 500 years ago.
No, Britney Spears was Mickey Mouse Club as well.
That was 300 years ago.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, I've been reading 1984 recently, and it's really sad. It really gives me the chills.
Go ahead.
The whole reason I brought that up was because I wanted to get into something specific, which is that Auntie Viri and I had touched on Twitter, which I'm hoping can result in some sort of disagreement on this show, because after all, we thrive on that too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw a tweet from Vera to Edith Bunker saying that Reagan sunk to Rachel's level and beyond, I believe.
Yes.
And at first, I privately wrote back to Vera. I said, I agree with you in private. Because, you know, I want to support Reagan and all that. And then I wrote back Vera privately a few days later and I said, I changed my mind. And the reason I changed my mind is because I had seen what happened 15 minutes earlier where Rachel said, are you just being a bitch because you're gay? So once I saw the provocation, I realized that I changed my opinion, because I think that he did not sink to her level. I think he should. I think it would have been much better if he had not gone to the mimic route, to the personal attacks route, and had, you know, completely just gone to the issue itself and said, "Look, you're homophobic. You made this statement. What that's about, and I'm very upset with you." Blah blah. But he didn't. He went a very childish route. But in my opinion, he did not sink nearly as low as she did, because she insulted an entire huge group of people. She insulted all homosexuals when she said, "Are you just being like that because she's gay?" When he told her she looks like a parrot and her chin is horribly broken out and whatever, he was personal and horrible and inappropriate as it may have been. He was only insulting her, not all parrots.
Well, that's probably
this is very semantical at this point, man.
Okay,
because
just I want to know. Look, I want to get angry, so give me something to get angry.
Please don't
about.
Agree with me, Vera. What do you think?
All right, I think that he sank to a level that they were all wallowing in the mud at that point.
Yeah,
and he was down in that mud with her. She purports to be, you know, gay supportive and loves gay people and blah, blah, blah. Who gives a fuck what she thinks about gay people, quite frankly? I think what we have to do as people when we get into arguments and when we get into disagreements and when we get, even if we get infuriated by another person, mm-hmm. the way to make your point, to argue your point and to express yourself is by rising above the situation, is by expressing yourself in a way that isn't a personal attack, that isn't ugly, vitriolic, that isn't childish. I mean, yeah. I don't blame Reagan for what he did, because I a day and a half with that cunt and I probably would have had something sharp at her throat. I mean, right. she is singularly one of the...
Go ahead.
I'll just button the point. She is singularly one of the most obnoxious human beings I've ever seen in my life. So to be in that close proximity day after day after day, I'm surprised he didn't snap sooner.
Right. And what were you going to say, Juan?
I was just going to say that the point that you snap and you go for the jugular, it just proves that she won, right?
Yes, Wanda, yes, exactly. She got what she wanted. She came out with her cute little swish and said, "Reagan, would you like a big ooey gooey gushy cookie?"
Well, you don't. It's not about that, but it's like when you say something like, "Do you say that just because you're gay? Are you like that just because you're gay?" You want a reaction out of that person.
I think she's got not what she wanted. I think she got what the producers wanted by sending her back there.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely, she got what the producers wanted, but yeah. She also got.
I don't
she
think
also
she wanted to be. I think that personal. I mean, you can see it on her face. You can watch it tonight. When I saw the reaction on her face, I actually felt sorry for her, because I felt like, wow, when you attack somebody to that level, it just takes your breath away, and I can't imagine under any circumstance that that's what she wanted.
Oh, I'm sure no. She was just like, "I know, I'll use the gay card. That'll freak out the homo." You know what I mean? That's like,
right.
That's like,
right.
A bully...
But I don't think she expected what she got. And I think in some ways,
what was her
it's
reaction?
Good. Maybe it's good that.
Well, she argued, they argued back and forth for quite a while. He slammed her, she slammed him. They slammed back and forth. But at the very, very end of the argument, that was my best part, because I think at the very, my favorite part, at the very end, the personal attack stopped, and he pointed his finger at her, and in a diatribe that was sustained and shocked the hell out of me, talked about the fact how her behavior and the way she has acted on the show is going to be shown to America and everybody else through the videos that people are going to see, and they're going to see what kind of a person she really truly is. And I mean, it wasn't vitriolic at that point, but it was extremely angry and extremely pointed. And also, the content was, people are going to see what you really are, Rachel, and you're a horrible, terrible person. And he turned around and walked away. And what was very telling is that she stood still, stock still, on one foot.
Yeah.
With her leg crossed over the other, and didn't move for maybe, what, a minute and a half, two minutes?
Yeah.
And so I think something affected her at that point.
So in a way, I guess, and this is not something that I have any clear opinion on. Let me just say, I side with Reagan 100%. I've watched him on the show. I know him in real life. I think he has the most integrity of anybody on that show because he's been honest and he keeps his word and everybody else doesn't.
Well, I'm afraid I have to agree with you, so okay. We can't fight on that point. I agree too.
So with this, you know, that's just the thing. I have though with this fight, you know, I was embarrassed for both of them, but at the same time, I really feel like, you know, him being on the show as a homosexual, it's like you have a rare opportunity to help to represent gay people for millions of people. When there's a whole lot going on, especially with Proposition 8 and whatnot and gay rights. I mean, here he is, a gay person that has the opportunity to influence a lot of people. And I think by fighting back.
But not that way.
Fighting back. And destroying her, perhaps it shows that you don't want to fuck with us.
No, it shows that he's just a bitchy queen. It doesn't show strength. I want a quick example. Please allow me to say this because it's really important.
There we disagree, so thank God.
Okay. When I was in college, there was psychodrama was getting really, really huge, and the man that was the founder basically of psychodrama came to our school and asked for a bunch of drama students to come help him.
What the fuck is psychodrama?
Psychodrama is where you act as, in other words, if you have a problem with your dad, you sit down and I would be your father and you would talk to me as if I was your father and I would act like your dad.
Uh-huh. Okay?
Yes. Or you would be the whatever.
Okay.
But it was in its infancy and it was really taking off. And this very important doctor came to the school, asked for drama students to participate in this psychodrama demonstration, and what he wanted to do was to have a mother and a father represented by students, and two students representing gay kids that wanted to come out to their parents and how to do it, and also other panel members displaying various church members and all that kind of stuff. What happened is that something came over me. I was one of the kids that was coming out and also talking to these people that were portraying civic leaders and everything about homosexuality. I all of a sudden got this incredible calm that came over me, and I spoke very reasoned and very from my heart and emotionally about things and gently about things and explaining things, as opposed to the other kid who was portraying the gay kid coming out and the gay kid explaining to the community about being gay, who was very radical, who was very Queer Nation, even though this was long before Queer Nation. He was just angry, and you're not going to oppress me and you're not going to take it. And what you watched in this psychodrama was that people, even though we were all playing roles, people were very much receptive to me, and they were really so unreceptive to the other kid that the head of the psychodrama session took the kid out and said, "This is not helping." Now, I'm not saying anything about my performance. I'm not saying anything about anything other than this. I think the way that we get our messages across is not by punching and slugging and talking about pimples, but, and I'm not saying be wimpy and pussy either, but by explaining our position very firmly and strongly and expressing logically and from the heart, from a place of sentiment, from a place of trying to get another person to understand in a strong way, I think that's the way we get our message across as gay people.
I think there's multiple ways.
There's
Malcolm X and there's Martin Luther King.
Well,
both got killed.
You know, Malcolm X was not speaking to white people. So, I mean, there's a...
Well,
which means
look in the 80s and Queer Nation and ACT UP. They did some very, very in-your-face acts where they just basically said, fuck you to people, we need our rights, you know, or we'll fucking destroy you, and it worked.
But I think the important part there was that helped raise the consciousness of gay and lesbian people to what they were really facing, and that's important. So somebody like Malcolm X... somebody who is being in your face, that serves not necessarily to engage or dialogue the general public, because, of course, you know, you're never going to engage someone by shutting them down.
Yeah.
But that certainly does have a role in...
But in a way, maybe Reagan was talking to gay people and saying, you know, you can fight back, obviously not consciously. You know, I think that it's like gay people have been walked over for years in this country. I don't know how long, but certainly as long as I've been alive. And, you know, maybe it's not such a bad idea if we say we're not going to take it. I can give you a small example. You know, I've been sitting in these stupid ass motherfucking chat rooms, so embarrassed, with the live feed. You know, they have a chat room and a live feed, kind of like the Ustream shows, but it's for Big Brother. And I was in one of these chat rooms and somebody said, Reagan's a sissy. And I wrote back and I said, really, what's a sissy? And he said, how old are you? 81. I said, actually, I'm 61. I just want to know what a sissy is. He says, a sissy is a girly man. I said, oh, so it's a derogatory term for homosexuals. He said, yeah. And then, you know, and some other gay person chimed in and said, look, I'm a gay person. I'm not offended by this. I said, well, I'm a gay person, and I am. And then he said, well, Matt, something or other, you know, went on a little bit, cordially on my end at least. And he said, well, Madge, you're the queer. And then he called me a carpet muncher, right? It escalated very quickly. And you know what? And I defended myself. He did not at all agree with me. But I think next time he'll think twice before making a homophobic slur. Now, granted, I was calm. I did not call him any names, except I did ask how big his dick was. You know, but I don't know. I mean, I think I'm obviously mixed on this, but I really mixed on it because I've said that I also was embarrassed for her and he could have taken the high road. But at the same time, I kind of think it's good that he stood up for gay people and said, look, we're going to fight and we can root
the immersives. He didn't stand up for gay people. Madge, he did not stand up for gay people. Reagan was not thinking about holding the rainbow flag when he stood up and fought against Rachel. He was fighting against one person who pissed him off. We can't elevate this argument into Reagan being the flag holder for the gay community.
However, in this argument. Unintentionally, that's what's happening, isn't it? Because when people
watch
unintentionally or not is not the point. Yes, it is.
We don't know
what
Reagan was thinking.
Okay, let me just make my point. Which is that, hello, this show is exactly, it's a microcosm. And so when people watch shows like this, they make judgments about other groups of people based on what they see in these shows. So,
right.
You know,
exactly,
otherwise they wouldn't be successful. So when Reagan, whether, I mean, you and I are savvy, we understand that these are people with personalities unique to themselves and not applicable to the entire community of people who take dicks up their ass. However, a lot of the people watching the show are simply going to look at it and say, here's a homo. Here's a loud queen. That's all you can expect out of somebody
like that. On the chat rooms, what I
exactly saw, my point.
On the chat rooms, what I saw was overwhelming support for Reagan and very little support for Rachel. And that's obviously anecdotal and not any sort of.
Oh no, and I think to a very large and ever growing segment, you have this notion that it's, you know, we're going to stand up and, you know, it's that same thing like people put down the loud black woman. But then there are people who champion the loud black woman. They're simply people on both sides of a stereotype that, you know, either find it to be empowering.
And you are a loud black woman.
According to Gooch.
Yeah, but she's not fat. I think we've put it out there, and I think we should see what you, the audience, has to say.
I do, too, because I think this topic is, as they say in the business, dead.
And I think I have to go to work.
Oh.
Hint.
So, on that lovely note, ladies, I would just like to say thank you for joining us one more time.
One more time, boys.
And next week on the program, if anything happens in the world between now and then, we might very well just talk about it. And if you would like to give us ideas for show topics, because we're all so busy and we have no time to make up topics on our own, you can send us. Yes, thank you. You can send us emails to what's our email address?
EatThisHotShow@gmail.com.
Oh, that's easy.
We're also accepting donations.
Yes, we want your money, so stick money in our proverbial G-strings. Thank you very much.
You'll see it on the website, EatThisHotShow.com.
And we'll see you next week. Ladies, say goodbye. Madge from YeastRadio.com.
Toodles!
And Vera Charles from Auntie Vera Speaks.
No, from VeraSpeaks.com.
Oh, get whatever.
Get the fuck right. Will you please? Jesus H. fucking Christ.
Look, the more that you yell and scream it, the more people are going to remember. So just thank me.
Thank you.
And I'm Wanda Wisdom from WandaWisdom.com. You can visit me online, too, and all these beautiful ladies for our own programs and previous episodes of Eat This Hot Show on EatThisHotShow.com.
Some of them.
Yes. And I've gotten people, I meant to ask you guys, are all our previous episodes available on the website?
No, but if anybody has them who's been listening for a while, send them to me, bloatedlesbian@gmail.com, or send me a link, because I would like to collect them, and they're just somehow mostly gone. So
well,
I'd love to
get them back. We need to talk, because I believe I have them all.
Even from before you were on it?
Oh, Christ, no.
Well,
you kidding?
There was a world before you. That's the problem.
Never,
I think I have them all with you. Christ. Jesus,
I'm off to
Christ.
Eat food. Toodle!
Right,
bye!
Like, here's my lovely turquoise. N-word, N-word, N-word.